One of the things I've always struggled with is my wallet. I feel like I always have way too many cards in there. I can never get the right one out when I need it. I'm always fumbling through stuff, and it always is super outdated. I checked out Exter, and they literally had the answer I was looking for. They have a wallet that is built for the 21st century. This wallet fans out your cards at the click of a button, and the expandable metal backplate allows you to carry more while keeping a really slim profile. You can literally hold up to 12 cards and dollar bills in this wallet. It's so cool and it's sleek. They don't just make wallets, they make bags and accessories that save you time. If you lose your wallet all the time, they even have a tracking thing that you can put in there. I really love it. And everything in this wallet is eco-friendly, and how they make all their products is eco-friendly. So it's super cool. I have loved my wallet, and Reyes got his wallet from Exter, and somebody loved his wallet so much they stole it from him. So there you go. It's an awesome product. Head on over to Exter.com and use the promo code all caps Arizona for 35% off your purchase. Again, head on over to Exter.com and use the promo code all caps Arizona for 35% off your purchase. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always. And I think we're on our last stop in the Arizona Small Ball Spring Tour,
bro,
right?
We only hit two schools.
But we are sitting here in the office of Coach Hogsma at Valley Christian and Coach DeBoer. And we're just going to talk all about Valley Christian. It's going to be super fun. We've already been chopping it up. Let's get into it. Okay, so let's just start with the elephant in the room.
Snuck in here in a horse, like the actual Trojans.
So stupid. So let's just start off with this, okay? So Hogsma, you have over 700 career wins, 8 state titles. You know, I think, aren't you in the Hall of Fame too for Arizona?
Chandler Hall of Fame,
which is awesome. Coach DeBoer, you've been coaching for over 30 seasons right around there. You had 11 seasons at the school that you graduated from, 3 state titles as a coach, and you're in the Washington Hall of Fame as well for coaches and all that. How does this work? You know what I mean? Because you guys are freaking studs, and you both know this. You could be at your own program competing for state titles. How does this work? And like, just talk about that, because I've just been, anybody who knows Valley at all, they see how you guys work together. So let's just talk about that for a second.
Well, you know, I had done it for a long time myself, and certainly could, but Roger had the opportunity to move down here from Washington for business reasons. Roger and I knew each other a little bit through a really close friend of mine in Washington, who he knows real well as well. And Roger's 2 boys played for me. Mm-hmm. And Roger was a great parent. You know, I mean, I know he's a great coach. And yet as a parent, he sat back and watched. And, yeah, he came and offered some advice here and there at different points in times. But you know, he wasn't an overbearing parent, because he knew as
well. You weren't coaching when you first came?
No.
Oh,
no,
I didn't.
I really wanted to be dad, especially with 2 boys in the program. Uh-huh. I just felt like, you know, that was, I think, an important step for me after being the coach, being around everybody else's dad. You know, when you make a move, first of all, come all the way across the country, now suddenly, you know, step into coaching.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, let's just sit back and watch the kids play. And obviously, with the coaching staff
the
that
pedigree
Valley has, right? I mean, it was really easy to release your kids to
someone
that stands for all the right things, first and foremost. And
absolutely.
Obviously a great program, so it was pretty easy.
Mm. Did you tour any other schools before Valley?
We did not tour
any or like other whatever. Schools,
but we looked into heavily, you know, kind of the main 3 Christian schools, Scottsdale and Gilbert and Valley.
And Valley just prayed harder.
What's that? You know, it was really interesting, you know, and this is, I guess, we came from a farming community.
Okay.
And you know, the vibe and the feel that we had, and in talking with people who are, I don't know if like-minded is the right word, but people that saw the type of community we came from, every single person to a T suggested that Valley would probably be the best fit.
Love that.
Mm.
And so we came in. It was almost an unfair battle because we came in with anybody that we knew that knew all of the schools. We had kind of already skewed our way towards Valley.
Sure.
And like Coach Hodgman talked about is that we have a really close mutual friend.
And
he was like, you got to go to Valley. I mean, you guys have to. And so it was a pretty easy choice for us and obviously the right choice for us.
That's great. So how does it work though? You know, like do you do offense? Do you do defense? No. Like how does that work?
Well, so again, he was around the program for a couple of years.
Okay.
And truthfully, you know, I've been doing a long time and being athletic director at the same time. I get to February, man, I'm gassed. Mm-hmm. I'm done. And you know, and honestly, for the last 5 years, win or lose, it's just like, man, I can't do this anymore. You know, I can't do this anymore. Right. And it gets hard. I mean, and I think you guys as coaches, you know that. Mm-hmm. It's tough. And we got to that point, you know, and Roger's around. And we sat down and I said, we're going to the shot clock. Mm. Roger's been coaching the shot clock in Washington for 10 years.
Gotcha.
I've always been a continuity-based offense, you know, mm-hmm. motion-style offense. Yeah, sure. That's not a shot clock offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Roger, I really think we would be best here at Valley if you'd come in and run that offense. And you know what? I mean, to Roger's credit, he right away – you know, first question I think he asked me, he goes, hey, I'm not a yes guy. I'm not going to come in. I don't want to be your assistant if I'm a yes guy. And I think Roger knows me. Now he knows me well enough for sure. It's like, I don't want a yes guy. Mm-hmm. I don't want a yes guy. Sure. I want a guy who's going to challenge me mm-hmm. in my thinking. I want you to challenge, you know, me in my thinking. And he goes, I think that could be a really good partnership. And there was a little bit of toughness that first year. I'm trying to still get my voice a little bit in the offense.
Yeah.
Not that I don't now, but it was different because we both have been head coaches our whole lives. We had to be able to adjust to the fact that I wanted him to come in and own the offense.
Yeah.
I love running the defense. I always have. I'm a grind it guy and
defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. That's crazy, huh?
It really what it comes down to. Cool. And it's been awesome. It's mm-hmm. been awesome. I mean, you know, there are some things that I you know, suggest to him offensively. He suggests a lot of stuff to me defensively. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the reasons Valley's been successful these last few years ultimately is because we have a new set of eyes that has done things differently for 30 years. And, you know, all of us know that we can get caught in our ways and
repeat
things too much. And Roger brought some just phenomenal ideas to the program, and it's been awesome.
Well, and I think to add to that, too, this is a great example of the only way it can work is that you have to have somebody who is not a high ego guy.
Mm, humility.
And Greg's humility has something that has always kind of shined in my eyes. And for him to have someone else who's been, you know, with 30 years of head coaching experience and another mm-hmm. 7 or 8 as an assistant and not have any feel of threat or anything like that and actually open up his mind and say, you know what, there might be better ways to do this, even
that's awesome.
With all of his rings, right? and you know, that takes a great deal of humility.
Sure.
And it was a super attractive opportunity for our family. First of all, we love the Valley community.
Right.
But second of all, you know, I'm not sure if I will ever be a head coach again, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never say never. It depends on how the good Lord leads.
Right.
But this is, for us, for our family, like the perfect opportunity.
Right.
I mean, he has opened up doors and allowed, you know, he's very right about the yes man thing. It's just not me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it works.
Right.
Because we can challenge each other and we can close that door without you guys in here and we can go at it a little bit. And I mean in a positive way.
Sure.
And we can talk it out like, hey, what? How are we going to do it? But it doesn't work if the head coach doesn't check his ego at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the beautiful thing is we've both had to shed a lot of, I would call it the humility light.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, with each other. And he is, the. I mean, in my 40 years of coaching, he's the best defensive coach I've been around. And I have learned so much in the last 2 years.
That's awesome.
It is so much fun.
There's a lot of complimenting.
I like
each
this.
Other. You know the dynamic here. There's a lot of throwing it back and forth.
I think I can guess that one of the arguments was ring size, right? Because he just came in, so you were just kind of like, your size this. It was too big, and that was the issue.
That's funny. So tell me about a time that you guys like really disagreed, though.
Ooh.
Come on, because I know you can think of some times here.
I can remember one right away, but I'm going to let
ahead.
You talk.
Go ahead.
It was actually the ALA Gilbert North game, year one.
He's
that's
not.
What I was going to say.
And we got to it towards the end of the game, and I had something pretty specific that I had in my mind. Doesn't mean it was right, but it was in my mind it was right.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and as a head coach, he has every right. Has every right to call whatever he wants.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it was kind of one of those moments. And again, you have to learn to work together, right?
Sure.
And this is kind of our first, like, really intense moment.
Right.
And let's just say there was probably a little alteration to what we were going to run and what I thought we were going to run. And so, yeah, I got pretty fired up, and we had some conversation about, hey, you know, I mean, do you really want me to run the offense, or I can be here and be the best cheerleader ever?
Oh, I love that. I love it.
But hey, you know, let's make up our minds, because you're the head coach and I'm here to support you.
Right.
And if that means that I just carry the water, I love to do it because I appreciate you.
He loves it. He's like,
and then he looks at me and goes, wow, now that's not what I want. But I'm adjusting. He goes, I've been doing this all these years, and suddenly I have somebody else calling the shot. This is not easy. And
right.
So we worked through it. I mean, that's one. I'm sure you've got more.
Oh, but. Yeah. No, there are different ones. I mean, I think one of the difficult things was for the kids, who to look to.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Because initially, you know, the kids that have been in the program, every eye had always come back to the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if it was offense, they're supposed to look over at Roger. And
Right. Some
of them were still looking my way at times. And so there was, I think, one of the difficult things was the kids.
Mm.
Well, who really is in charge? And you know, and we get to the point now where they know it's just a team.
Right.
You know, and we're working together as a team. I mean, I'm still going to do a lot of the administrative things because I'm on campus and I'm,
sure.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, sure.
But when it gets to practice, you know, I'll put together a practice plan, and Roger has a big input on that. And there are a lot of things that he runs in practice, and both of us are chiming in. And we want our assistant coaches doing the same thing.
Right.
This isn't a, you know, it's kind of odd. You see a lot of high school coaches go to college and then they end up coming back because they end up seeing they don't have a voice as
right.
a third or fourth assistant or whatever. And
yeah.
that's not the way we run things. I mean,
sure.
we want all of our coaches to have voices, and we want them to develop relationships with the kids. So that's
love
been
that.
Really cool.
Again, shows his humility, right? I mean, everybody's a part of it. And,
sure.
And those are programs everybody wants to be a part of, right?
Right. I mean,
it's really easy to.
Yeah. And honestly, when I think about myself, that's one of the reasons why I've loved helping out Coach Wall so much is he is very much, I'm his assistant, but I feel like I have a huge voice in saying things, you know, and that's key for good assistants to stay around, you know, because if you don't feel that, you're like, all right, well, what am I really doing here? I guess I'll just go with the water. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I feel like that's
key.
Do
you want to tell him the water story? The cups?
No, that's a different thing. That's okay. We don't need to talk about that. So one of the coolest things about being here has been the rings. You know, I've actually never seen like a high school championship ring. So to see it, to hold it, it's been really cool. They're right behind you, which is awesome. I love it.
They're not behind. They're on his fingers.
They're not on his fingers. Stop lying. Come on now. This is audio only, but we tell the truth.
Did it surprise anybody that he actually posted a picture of it on
dude, it surprised me. I was like hey.
Well, I mean, I'm sitting there talking about all this humility stuff and all that. And then all of a sudden there's this post. I'm like, where did that come from? And then I figured it out that the player said, you've got to send me a picture. So
right. and what you have to understand is the kid who did that actually played baseball for me back in the 90s.
Mm.
And he was a loon. He was a crazy kid. And I've got lots of stories that I
sure.
cannot tell that would be and very bad for people to hear, but
not Valley Christian-esque.
No, it's not like that, but it's like, I will tell one though. I mean,
oh, here we go. I could tell he wanted to say it. There you go.
So as successful as I've been as a basketball coach, my record as a baseball coach might be one of the bottom five in the state of Arizona.
I didn't know that.
We had a football coach at the time, incredibly successful guy who got all the athletes to play football. So I didn't have very many athletes. So in my tenure here, it was like take a bunch of freshmen, build them up, hopefully have a good team by the time they're seniors, and start over. But
sure,
we played when the mining school, Superior, Ray, and all those schools were dominant. They were in the region. So I really only had like 3 good years of coaching where we had great records. But, I was a baseball player first. That was what I did,
Oh, gotcha. You too?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so I... So we always went to the Gila Bend tournament. Gila Bend had a great tournament for many, many years. I didn't even have an assistant. Our baseball program was so small here, I didn't even have an assistant. I got to Gila Bend, and this was like 93, 94, whatever. I was sicker than a dog. I mean, I am just sicker than a dog. And I'm, in my room, bent over, the toilet, and just puking and everything else. But the kids had to get some stuff out of the small bus, and sure enough, the small bus with some students took a stroll around.
Oh my god!
No. Is this Coach Carter?
and so the kid who texted me, he's that kid.
Oh my gosh! So how far did they go?
Not very far. No one knows the story because they didn't get caught or anything. They were great kids, but I mean, it was like their claim to fame is driving a school bus around town.
That's a pretty good claim to fame.
That's pretty cool.
And he took 30 years to tell that story.
So I think there's some statute of limitations that he's okay now. As the AD, he can tell it.
Hey, at least they didn't get into an accident or anything like that.
That it happened. But like I said, they didn't even tell me. I mean, it was 5 years later before I found out.
And then they're like, hey, coach, we got to tell you something. Exactly. That's the best, dude. Exactly. I love that. That's awesome. So thinking about all of your rings, is it just kind of like business as usual now? Like not that big of a deal? Or is each one pretty special for you?
You know what? Those are great remembrances of the teams.
Yeah.
But every year you start over. If you're thinking about those things, you're not doing a service to the kids you're coaching.
Sure.
And I think you're also not doing a service to yourself. It's not, you hear professional athletes say it all the time that every year is a new year. Well, yeah. There's a lot of truth to that. And, like I said, those are great remembrances of past experiences, but it's a tangible item. The relationships, those kind of things are the big deal. And for me, I want to give everything I have to this team. And if I'm thinking about those things, I won't be doing that.
Sure. Would you agree with that? I mean, you're just saying amen over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because I think that, you put your focus on the stuff that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And championships come from starting from a perspective or a mindset of being a champion.
Sure.
What does that look like? That is more of who we are,
right,
as opposed to what we do.
Mm.
And that's one of the things that we loved from this, about this program from afar.
Sure.
As a parent, you look at it and go, hey, it's, championships come and go.
Mm.
It's the relationships and what are they learning about life. And one of the things that Greg does a phenomenal job of is teaching those life moments.
Right.
And to be along for that ride and being part of that. We may do things very differently, and we may be different personalities, but the main thing is the main thing for us.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And I think championships are always a byproduct of having a mindset of what does it mean to be a champion? What does it mean? Let's look at all the important things, and if we take care of those, then the scoreboard quite often will take care of itself.
One more fun thing, though, with Roger and I being different, I am not a hugger.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
I am not a hugger. And I mean, the kids, I have a lot of fun with the kids and can play around with them and those kind of things.
Right.
But I'm standing in practice and, the first day Roger comes into practice, I mean, before we get going, he's hugged every kid like 3 times and they don't know what's going on, and now it's to the point where, they all walk in, they'll fist bump me and they'll give Roger a big hug. But it's just like, that's, you talk so about funny. Different personalities.
Sure, yeah.
That is one of them.
That first day, it was first day of practice. And so I go around and I just do me, right?
Right.
And he's sitting over by the scores table, and he's chuckling. I'm like, what? I'm like, what? And he's just shaking his head. I'm like, no, what? And he's like, well, I think you just hugged more kids in the first practice than I have in my career. And I'm like, hey. And he goes, but you do you. You do you.
I do think, though, like, we laugh about it, but I like kind of what you said. That's why this works so well, because you guys are so different,
right?
You know, and the humbleness and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
That's really good,
so. I think that's why we work. We're kind of different. I'm pretty wild.
you're a little bit wild.
You're not that wild.
The amount of things I have to edit out. He keeps it together when we do in-person interviews, but when it's just me and him,
it gets wild, guys.
Man, the amount of stuff I gotta edit out, it's crazy. But okay, you were saying something, huh? I don't want to go away from that.
Well, yeah, the elephant in the room, there's 8 rings. I mean, we're not all math teachers here, but I'm not trying to do the median, you know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out which one's the one, dude.
Who's the favorite?
Who's the favorite? Because you guys are parents. You three are all parents. You can tell me all that Joe Schmo BS. I love all my, I'm just calling it. I'm the favorite in my family.
Wow.
And I know a couple other kids that are the favorites.
Do you think your mom would say the same thing?
No, absolutely not.
So in your own mind. It's in your own mind.
Just in his own head, he is.
In my head. Yeah. But come on, out of the 8, I mean, there could be a stepchild, I don't know if you want to call it, but I'm just saying.
Who's the favorite?
So before I go there, favorite team, and I'm not embarrassed to say this, was my 2004 team, and that's not even on the board there.
Oh,
interesting.
I love that. Tell us why. What's going on?
They won the year prior.
So my 2000, well, we got beat in the finals by Scottsdale Christian in 2004.
The Eagles.
And
Scottsdale Christian, dude. God,
that was an incredible team they had. So they had 3 kids, I think, who ended up playing Division I basketball.
Mm.
2 of them small, and one of them, well, Kevin Coble went to, you know, Northwestern. Sure. Mm. They had another kid who was a Division I volleyball player.
Mm.
And I mean that, and their starting lineup, I think, was 6'9", 6'7", 6'6". And back in that time, that was huge.
Well, it's huge now, too.
Yeah, it is.
I was going to say, back in that time.
But we didn't have a kid on our team that was over 6'5".
Mm.
But that team had about 6 kids, 3 seniors, 3 sophomores, who just said, we're the best team. Mm. We're the best team. And we beat them the first game of the year by like 15 to 20 points.
Oof.
We just hammered them. Well, you know what that did to Coach Fredericks. I mean, he went back home. He studied that film. He knew our offense better than we did after that.
Hair's point. All but, crazy, you know, but, like lines.
I mean, and we played them 5 times that year.
Uh-huh.
And they hammered us the next 3 times. We got to the finals, and we got ahead. And we battled them, and they ended up winning that game by 4. But that was just a team. I mean, you know, Dave Melhorn was on that team. He coaches for me now. He's my JV coach.
Sure.
Brian Roberts is on that team. He's the head coach of Purdue Northwest, a Division II team.
Mm.
It was all tremendously high IQ players.
Yeah,
probably even more so than talent. They could all really stroke it. But that was kind of the birth of how we went to a dribble drive, a 5-out offense, that team. So that kind of was the table setter for some of the things that you've seen Valley do, at least up until the point where we switched things into the shot clock era.
Yeah. Well, you guys heard that. For you Valley fans and former players, current players.
If you're not on that 2004 team, you're not the favorite. So there you go.
Kick dirt.
It's confirmed.
So, but, you know, there's tremendous memories on all 8 of those championship teams. I will say that, you know, 2014 and 2018 or 19, that 18-19 team, I had a son on each of those teams.
That's special.
That makes both of those special, especially the 2014 team. We had 9 losses that year. We came in as the 8 or 9 seed. Now we were better than that, but we just had struggled with a few things throughout the season. Ended up beating Cortez. That was in the divisional era. You know, that's
when Cortez was number 2 in the state. That was so crazy. I don't know how they were in our freaking
1,500 kids or whatever.
And he was talking about that they had a kid that was like 6'9 or something, and he was guarding him or something. I was like,
yeah, dude, bro, Cam Verde, baby.
Yeah, their coach, he actually just took the centennial job now.
Oh, wow.
And they were so good. They were so much more athletic than we were. We just shot it a little bit better. But it was that was really, really fun team to coach. Mm.
So, okay, talk about your help. Because obviously you've been coaching here and helping them out for 2 years now.
Yes.
So talk about, like, your help then versus now? Have you always had the amount of help that you have now, or, you know?
We've always had, you know, I would say we're going back to about 2010-11. I've had three, four assistants on a regular basis. The one thing that's been very special about Valley is I've only had like three, four freshman coaches, four JV coaches in over 30 years.
Wow.
So it's not like it's been a huge turnaround. Guy comes in and he'll stay for 7 to 10 years or longer.
That's so cool.
Which, it's pretty good, yeah. It's awesome.
And we all know that you're not going to get to the level of being successful at the high school without being able to have a good freshman and a good JV program.
Right.
Absolutely. You have to have people that are training kids up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been extremely blessed with some really, really good freshman coaches. They're great administrators. I don't have to worry about them. They take care of their parents. They take care of the kids. They take care of their practices. But then they're really good X's and O's guys as well.
Yeah, sure.
And they get the kids to understand what Valley Christian basketball is about.
Mm.
And we may not always have the best freshmen at the beginning of the year, but by the end of the year, we've got three, four dudes who can come and go to the next level and are getting ready. And
granted,
to win rings, you have to have stars, but you also
got to have role players.
Mm-hmm. And we've been blessed to be able to bring those guys up through the years.
I love what you said right there. It's like how they kind of implement and they embody what Valley Christian basketball is. But for the general fans, like, what is Valley basketball, right? Like, what is it? What's the culture? What gets the kids to buy in? Like, the aura around it. I think that's what we're trying to figure out, too. I think we kind of know, but we want to hear from you guys.
Well, I would say one of the first things that we've always done is we want to teach kids how to win.
Mm-hmm.
We believe a freshman may be able to suit varsity, mm-hmm. and maybe he gets a varsity uniform. But you've got to learn how to win at the high school level.
Sure, yeah,
and
absolutely.
So it's very important to us that kids get success on the floor.
Mm.
And I don't think that always happens by advancing the kid up the ladder quicker.
Mm.
Now, you know, the Greer boys, Caleb Danzeisen, three freshmen right there who are on the varsity team. That's never happened in Valley Christian history before.
Really?
That's the first time. I've only had prior to those three.
It's his favorite button.
Prior to those three kids, I think I've only had maybe three or four freshmen on varsity ever.
Wow.
In 30 years. And wow. I mean, it's never been more than one at a time. And two of those came up for postseason and didn't play during the regular year.
Yeah.
We feel it's very important to us that they learn how to win. We'll have a number of juniors that will play JV at times because they have to have success.
Yeah.
And if a kid doesn't develop a confidence level as a basketball player, you know, they're not going to
produce.
No.
Sure.
So I think number one, we've developed a culture that has kids understanding that, you know what? If I want to be a Valley Christian basketball player, I have to be willing to sacrifice maybe varsity basketball to help my own self develop a little bit. And, you know, there's a lot of kids around the state. I know if I can't play varsity, I don't want to play.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. We have not had that problem here. Mm. We've had a lot of kids. You know, my youngest son, he played JV as a junior before he got to his senior year. You know, I mean, it happens. And you know what? I've had very, very little over 30 years of parent issues to deal with that because they understand what we're trying to accomplish.
Mm.
So I don't know what you have, Dad. I think that's one of the big ones for me.
Well, I mean, this has been your program for a really long time, Papa.
Well, yeah, but
Papa Bear right
here. That's great,
I mean,
but you've
on.
Been here for 2 years, and so obviously you walk in and you see what Valley's about, but then you can kind of get to add a little bit to what...
Sure, your flair to it. You know?
Yeah, and so how obviously that mix has just been great, right? I mean, back-to-back state championship, I'm just going to say it. But I'm just saying, so like... He talks about the team culture. What else have you noticed just stepping in the Valley?
You know, I think the important thing, anytime you step in a support role of something that is already rolling, I think that you have to be careful to try to enhance what's already there as opposed to trying to change something. That doesn't mean that sometimes enhance does equal
right.
some slight changes. But I think, you know, we saw from afar as a parent and a family that there were some things that I spoke of earlier, right? That that really attracted us to seeing our kids grow as young men first.
Right.
And, you know, there's just certain things that, you know, I proposed to Coach Hogsma that, you know, that I would love to, you know, add to actually, you know, is there little tweaks and things that we can make better. But I'll let you speak more about that. But, you know, I think it's really important that I had to, you know, not tread softly, but just make sure that I'm supporting all of the cool. Because if I didn't believe in it,
you wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't be here, and we'd have been behind closed doors having some more fun conversations. Right? So no, which is really important. But that's the thing. I mean, we're again so like minded on what really matters in coaching.
Right.
It's pretty easy transition for me to come in and during these 2 years and just try to, you know, add bits and pieces along the way.
Gotcha.
I think one of the other things that I've worked at, and we're not perfect. I don't think anybody's perfect at this, but one of the things that we've worked at is we want a program. We don't want teams. You know, in the summertime, we're getting ready in a week. We're going to take all three of our levels up to Salt Lake City area for a combo high school round robin. And then it kind of morphs into a tournament that they invite a bunch of AAU teams to, too.
Oh, that's great.
And you know, not that that tournament has anything special, but it gets all three of our teams away. Mm. And we have team meetings every night where every boy is together.
Sure.
And the older kids get to speak to in front of the younger kids. Some of the younger kids are bold enough to speak up. So we start developing a team right away. Mm-hmm. And we have varsity kids that will goof around with the freshmen and the JV kids. And so there's a program feel.
Right.
And I think that's really, really cool. And that's something that I take a lot of pride in. That's awesome. We've worked really hard to build that.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, you know, Coach DeBoer, you coming from Linden Christian, you know, that was where you were from. You know, that was like your high school, you know, all that. And winning in 11 seasons there, like 288 games, you know, like just and winning titles there. Your last year, you went all the way to the state title game, you know, which is like awesome. And I think coming to this new place, like that would have been really challenging, but I think it says a lot about you guys and then the program that like you've been able to meld into it so good, support it and just be great. But that must have been a weird transition though.
It is. And we actually now, I mean, you know, we joke about it quite a bit. I don't know if joke's the right word, but this is an incredibly unique situation.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we start thinking like, is there very many places anywhere in the country that have two guys with the background that we have.
You guys have over like around 60 years of coaching experience between the two of you.
And
it's crazy.
And to combine that and actually enjoy
working together.
Compliment each other and working together. So the transition is, I mean, I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was by far the easiest in a program like this because we stand for so many of the same things. And all the stuff that he's talking about is stuff that I lived for 30 years as a head coach.
Right.
So it wasn't like it was contradictory.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I mean, all the stuff he talks about program and building and all of that stuff is stuff that was, you know, I wouldn't say exactly, but really close to the way that we were doing things
in
a completely different state.
Yeah, which is cool. But small ball, you know?
Amen. And, you know, and I've shared that with you guys before. I mean, being a small ball coach for all of those years and then, you know, it makes it very attractive to come to another small ball in a different state.
Sure.
Right?
Small ball is just better than everything. Can we just talk about that real quick?
It's just small ball overall. It's awesome. It is.
4A, 5A, 6A, kicked rocks, dude. You set.
Okay. So last thing, and then we'll move on from the rings. Put all of those state championship teams into a tournament.
Who's coming out on top? That's a good question now.
I've been asked that by not the kids, the dads. The dads want to know.
Of course, the dads want to know. That's awesome.
The 2003 team, you know, and the first thing all the kids are going to say is just like the NBA, it's different eras. The kids back in 2003, they can't hang with the kids today.
That's so funny.
The 2003 team was probably the most dominant team as far as scores and everything like that. I mean, that team put up 142 points in a game against back in the day the Arizona Boys Ranch.
That's some scary.
You can just keep talking through it because he does it all the time.
I'm trying to limit myself.
And you know, and they just wanted to run. They wanted to run with us, and it's just like let's just go have fun, you know. And They scored, you know, Arizona Lutheran. And Doug Myers is one of my good friends and a great defensive coach. Sure. We've had some legendary battles. We had one year a few years ago because he's a defensive-minded game guy too. Yeah. We had a game about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Neither team missed a shot in the first quarter. And our wives afterwards were both laughing like both of us were going to lose our heads because we couldn't stop anybody. And it was like 32-28 after a quarter. I mean, that's unheard of with Valley and sure, ALA, you know.
That's so funny.
But we scored 77 on them in a first half one time with that, oh my with that 2003 team. And ALA was really good back then, too. Yeah. So that was a really good team. It was very, very tall. You know, I that team would have been a hard team for any of them to beat.
Sure.
You know, the team with Caleb Shaw, just the flack that he's just a different type of athlete.
He's just different, dude.
You know, he's a player. Certainly, I'd lean probably towards those. 2006-07, Shane Johansson played at NEU for 3 years. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a big body that nobody, sure. I don't think very many people here could guard. Probably. Right. You know, my 2003 center, Tim Krug, probably him and Shane would have had some epic battles.
That's but, cool.
Those, I'd say 2003, you know, 2021, you know, this year's team is going to write its own legacy. And,
yeah.
you know, one of the things that I think, you know, every team, like I said, every year stands on its own. But this team is driven because, you know, with the great teams we've had here, nobody's ever gone three in a row.
I was going to say, dude, I know that's the goal right now.
We were just about to bring that up. We'll talk. Let's wait.
Well, I mean, we can just talk about it right now.
Wait.
Okay, fine. Talk to us about this championship team, right? Luke Shaw, Austin Wallace, the Greers, you know. We laugh.
Who's the better Greer? Can someone just say, who's the better Greer?
Ask their dad. I think they're one. They're, talk about epic battles. I think they're one-on-one battles in the backyard.
I'm pretty sure y'all have seen some one-on-ones just here.
Yeah.
I said.
Does his dad have a Twitter?
What's that? I don't think
so.
Who did you
We're
going
to have to figure
you
it
said
out.
Kyle, and I said Carson. No, wait. No, I said
Kyle. I think I said Kyle. You said Carson.
What? 44.
That's Kyle.
Okay, I said Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I said Kyle.
No, I said Kyle. Okay, you said whatever. Five, bro.
It's whatever.
Kyle gets buckets.
But tell me about this team. What was so special about them? Because, I mean, they were a great squad to watch, and you guys did a magical job with them. And sharing the ball, being unselfish, playing together, playing hard. So talk about what was so special about this team.
Oh, well, obviously, we had some really good leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, Austin and Luke are phenomenal leaders in that regard. But everybody valued their roles, number one. I'd say the other main thing is guys just poise. Mm. You know, they did not have any point in the season where something just bothered them that they couldn't overcome it. You know, for as young as we are with number of sophomores and juniors, no guys with, you know, 3 years of varsity experience or whatever, they don't get flustered by much. Mm. And you know, their battles in practice, you know, it's probably as good as what they're going to get in most games, but
or better.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we go back to the championship game 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're down by 14 at half, you know,
and the Greers were huge in that game.
Yeah.
Gosh,
and
they were huge.
And one of the kids at halftime, you know, it wasn't Roger. It wasn't me who gave the speech. He comes in. And he goes, we can control our effort and our attitude and our intensity. Mm. He says, we do those things, everything will take care of itself.
Mm.
That's what he said. And it's like, that's pretty cool.
And you guys just kind of shut up. And you're like, all right, well, there you go. That's it.
We don't have to say anything. It was like, mic drop, let's go.
You got it on three, let's go.
It was perfect, too, because we're walking into the locker room.
Sure.
Right, and I look at him and I go, well, that didn't go as we expected. I mean, Coolidge is just taking it to us, right?
Right.
And I said, you know, I said, we're going to, what are we going to say? I said, we got to make sure that we're showing, exuding some confidence and come in there and we can't light them up and all that. And then we walk in and we didn't have to say anything. It was basically, you know, it was player led. And it was pretty special. We walked out and they went, okay.
That's pretty cool.
Let's see what happens, you. Right?
And I remember, obviously, like, it happened. You remember on the podcast what I said? I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Shaw just walked in. They said, guys, we're fine.
Oh, I know. For real.
Hey, I'm squatting. Hop on the train.
He really, man, that game. I know we're talking about this whatever, but dude, that game was special.
That second half was just insane.
It was special for him.
And what he did defensively in the second half. And, exactly. And that is the one thing he did say in the locker room, which I think we can say. He just said, hey, he goes, you do not need to help me guarding this particular player.
Yeah.
He goes, he keeps breaking us down and kicking out for open threes. He goes, do not help. I'll handle it. Mm-hmm. And the very first move, the kid takes it and lays it up off the glass, kind of beats him, and he pins it on the backboard. Mm.
Yeah, Clegg's glasses got foggy.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it was like it was on. And you can see all these other young players on our team just go, okay. Yeah,
we got this.
And it just kind of changed the whole mindset and dynamic of that second half. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool.
But Austin and the Greers, you know, and Luke, they grew up real fast, and they're poise in that second half.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I think just carried over to this year.
Sure.
And, you know, they're not vocal guys that are just going to come and blow up practice, and if things are going bad, you know, spout off. I mean,
sure.
It's honestly, it's doggone near impossible to get the Greers to talk.
Really?
He's not wrong. I hear that if you get them in the classroom, or with friends, it's different.
They mess around a lot.
But you know, we've had that battle with them a little bit. But you know, their poise is just incredible. That's I think that's one of the things that just sets this team apart, is that nothing rattles them.
God, yeah. Austin Walls is a dog on defense.
Oh,
too.
He is. Oh.
He's just an absolute.
He does so many little things right for us. I mean,
yeah.
And in fact, my son was commenting on. He's kind of helping out, coach a little bit in the summer, and that was he goes, I've never seen a guy do so many winning plays.
Mm.
You're not just scoring, just all these winning plays. And it could be a defensive thing. It could be a big rebound. It could be
diving on the floor for a loose ball. Exactly. Yeah.
He does so many little things, and he's so bright and so smart.
Strong kid too.
Yep. He has all of those things, right?
Gosh, and he grew.
He does. He's bigger now too. He's like, you'll see him today.
You'll see
him
today.
He's gained some weight. He's been in the weight room. But you know, I think Coach touched on something and, you know, having three teenage boys in the house, you know, they talk about the words clutch genes, right? Like, right. And something
just that
either have it or you don't.
Right.
Absolutely.
And they talked about this, the team of the past 2 years where you've got guys like the Greers and, you know, I mean, and it's not just in hoops. I mean, the guys both go out and pitch shutouts in the state playoffs in baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these kids, they aren't affected by any, the big moment. The brighter the lights, the better they are, because they're just not affected by it.
Yeah.
And that's basically across our whole team. And that's very unique for guys like us that have coached that many years.
Yeah.
You really don't have a large group of, I mean, you'll have one or two.
Right.
Sometimes they'll carry the rest of the team. But we have a group of kids that are like that.
Well, that's what's so special about this team. It's not just one player. Because I remember we thought, oh, Luke Shaw's just going to go crazy, in which he did, respectfully.
Right.
But man, when he was down,
and everybody else stepped up.
Just rose to the occasion. And it was like, y'all just didn't skip a beat. And then you throw him back in. And that was just literal scary hours, bro.
It really was.
One of the interesting things that I think Luke creates for this team is just that contagious effort to really play fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think an insane nature where he wants to blow somebody out in the first quarter.
Right.
I mean, that is Luke's personality, and he took that on. If there was one interesting thing about our team is when he was out, we tended to start slower.
Mm.
Last year we didn't, you know, maybe go up 12, 15 right away. It was more methodical. But we could go down the list with Luke and the Greers. We haven't even mentioned Jake Harrison and what he can do for this team.
I know, and defensively and everything, man.
And the leadership that he exuded for us last year was unbelievable. I mean, he'd come to the bench and he'd say something to Roger, and you know, if I was talking to somebody else, and Roger would go, "That's really, really good. You got to say that to everybody." You know, and the growth that he's had in that regard has been phenomenal. And this team, you could go player by player, they all complement each other so well.
Mm.
And yet, if one of them misses, the other guy can come in and take that spot up.
Sure.
So
yeah,
those are things, because you can have complementary teams, mm-hmm. but if someone can't take over that role when somebody's out,
right?
Yeah, you know, you're not going to go through a basketball season where everybody's going to stay healthy 100% of the time.
Absolutely.
So
and what you talked about too, Coach Hogsum, about embracing roles. You know, that's the thing that is just so incredible about a guy like Jake and a guy like Caleb Dansheisen, mm-hmm. who they put a big grin on their face when you say, hey, you're guarding so-and-so.
They just love it.
They're like, yeah. Oh, let's go. And, you know, to embrace those types of roles, you know, it's special for coaches to have players like that.
Yeah.
And to see their growth. And, you know, he was talking about Jake. I mean, Jake, how he's grown as a young man is just, you know, that's why we get up in the morning, right? You see kids grow up, and it's been really, really cool to see. So every member carries so much value to what we're trying to do. And I think, again, when you have all of that, the scoreboard seems to take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in watching your team, I feel like you have a bunch of kids that maybe aren't the most vocal, like what you said. This was me watching just from the season, because they just don't seem like, you know, I just didn't watch them.
Like rah-rah guys.
Or yeah. Just, nope. I probably watched about like 12 of your games this season, you know, and
the disrespect on Salome, dude.
It's like, come on. You know, I love Salome too. I probably watched like 30 games with Salome.
I watched like 30 of the ASDB.
Well, you need to stop with that, dude. My gosh.
They didn't see it coming.
There's the editing part right there, yep. You know? Oh my gosh. But regardless, it looked like you had a bunch of players that just led by example, you know? Mm. And for me, when I'm coaching, of course you want the vocal. If you can get both, that's awesome. But I would so much rather have the example opposed to like the vocal leadership. And watching Luke Shaw play, I mean, there was just so many games. I just felt like his motor and his will to win, his defense on the ball or in help side, or just the way he pushed the ball in transition, whatever, it just changed everything, and it was contagious, and it made everybody go. So I just thought that was super special and unique about your team.
That's what stood out to me this year, was because like, we all knew Luke Shaw just from his freshman year that he can just put the ball in the hoop. That wasn't the question. Defensively, though, this year, my gosh.
You mean a sophomore year?
Oh, sophomore year. Yeah, he was just a dog, dude.
Mm-hmm. So talk about his growth from sophomore year to junior year. Because
besides the height.
Well,
I'm not talking about like literally, and also just like with this game, you know.
He keeps
what I'm
growing,
saying?
Dude. Gosh.
One of the things you mentioned, it we challenged him. He needed to be a better defensive player. Mm-hmm. You know, his sophomore year, he really enjoyed being an offensive player,
just like a shooter. But, you know what I'm saying?
But weak side of the ball. I mean, he'd get caught standing around quite a bit. That changed, and honestly, we didn't ask him to guard the best player very often, mm-hmm. and I honestly think Luke would love that role more.
I was gonna say, I feel like he would love that.
He steps up in the big situations, and he likes to take on those challenges. I mean, sure. he's as good of a competitor as anyone, and he wants that role.
Right.
And so, I think he'd love to do that more. But I mm-hmm. mean, he certainly improved as a rebounder. His transition is just. The way he makes our team go in transition and just speeds up the game is crazy.
Mm.
It's crazy. And I mean, we had some games at the beginning of the year last year, you know, we played the team from Colorado Regis where, you know, he just pushed and pushed and pushed, and it's fun to watch. There's no doubt about it. So, Austin Wallace, you know, I mean, his rebounding, I mean,
huge.
Kyle Greer, just a beast, you know. So you could go down the list with each one of these kids and just go. But, yeah, back to Luke Shaw, I think that, you know, he comes from a family that has played really high basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They're high IQ.
He's a gym rat, too, from everything I hear.
You know, he's a competitor. I mean, you know, Caleb wanted to eat kids for lunch. That mm-hmm. was kind of the mentality he came into practice with.
He put people in the hoop.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, literally. Luke doesn't necessarily have that. He's more of a pleaser type. But as he's grown, I think that that dog mentality that came out of Caleb is continuing to grow in Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also was a big difference between his sophomore and junior year.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to even see more of that this year. Mm-hmm.
And I think in what you touched on, it's unbelievable the time that he puts in.
Mm.
you know, you guys get to see the end result.
Right.
We get to see behind the scenes how many early mornings he's mm-hmm. putting up shots, how many times he's training, how many times he's in the weight room, the 45 minutes he spends stretching and doing plyometrics before he goes out on a court for practice or games. You know, people don't get to see that.
Right.
But he is putting a whole bunch of sweat in the bucket. Prior to anything that you guys get to see as an end result. And,
right.
and that's contagious for other guys. And he's not the only one.
Right.
We've got, you know, once that starts going, you've
it's
got
contagious,
a lot of guys,
man.
Yep, you have a lot of guys spending time in the weight room and doing extra reps and doing some of the extra things. But I think that what stands out. His growth has come through the fact that he has put in the extra time and the extra effort.
So this is no secret, but we voted you guys the offensive player or the offensive team of the year in the small ball, like, well deserved. You know what I'm saying? Like, anybody who would disagree with that is crazy.
Needs to get hit by a truck.
Oh my gosh, dude.
More editing.
Yeah, or just chill out. Oh my god.
Dude, I don't like disagreement with us, dude. Okay. If anybody disagrees with us, dude, they can get dealt with.
Hey, people can disagree. It's all they could, I yeah, disagree sure. with you all the
hey,
time.
Remember, hey, the comments, dude. Okay. The comment war, dude.
So I think you guys play offense better than anybody in the small ball. And you can make an argument you guys play offense just as good as any of the bigger schools, their competitors, or anything like that. So talk to me, like, I know this is probably more of a you question, Coach DeBoer, but, like, how do you prepare your team for game situations in practice? Because, like, that's something that we always think about and all coaches always think about, you know? Like, you have an offensive end result that you want, but how do you break it down in practice to get them ready for that end result, you know?
I think what you touched on right there is really important. We get together, Coach Hogsman and I and the other coaches at times, but we decide what is the end result. When we get to the end of the year, sure. what do we need to be prepared for? So we start there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we look at our team and go, okay, if we're scouting our team, what are some of the things that
how do we beat us?
Yeah, mm-hmm. How, what are they going to try to take away? What are they going to try to do? And, okay, if they're going to do that, how are we going to combat
right.
that? So we literally have a plan that starts at the beginning. Well, it actually starts right now. We were working on it yesterday.
Sure.
Right. So we begin even from an offense and a defensive breakdown standpoint, we start and say, okay, we need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the things that we're going to do now?
Right.
And so when we got to the playoffs and we said, look, there's no one going to be more prepared than you because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what the defense runs.
You're ready for it already. You've thought it through.
I mean, they'll look at us now and go, hey, they're in what, you know, ABC, we need to run XYZ.
Right.
And we need to get into that. And that's, again, having great high IQ kids, but we have to set a foundation. So we start sure. with the very beginning and then we go, okay, how do we build to that part?
Right.
And so that's where we start. And we've got different types of quick hitters and different types of continuity and different types of things offensively.
A lot of stuff out of the high post too, like the mid post, which I love. I really like that a lot.
And you know, and that's intentional. We got to be a little careful because now as people start preparing,
sure.
part of the stuff we put in yesterday is like, okay, well, you can try to take that away. But now,
but
we have to continue to morph. But none of that happens without kids that are willing to be unselfish,
absolutely
willing to listen, having high IQ kids that can run a lot of different stuff. You know, I think all of that, you know, works hand in hand, but it does start with figuring out the end result. What do we need to be prepared for? And then backing it all the way up and then building to the point
sure.
where you get to the postseason and what counters do you have for the things that people are going to take away and all of that. Feel free to add.
I think the one thing I would say too is as far as, you know, one of the things Roger brought in too, and you know, we were up tempo before he came, but he's even ubered that a little bit and you know, very, very intentional with that. I mean, probably not in the summer quite as much, although I think we try to push it, but we get to the season, if somebody is not, you know, given their effort in getting us up and down the court in practice, he's going to say, you know, why are you on the floor? Or, you know, what are you supposed to be doing? But we're going to have conversations that's going to force these kids to play fast. We cannot allow kids to play slow, you know,
right.
and that's a big, big deal.
Gosh, and that goes hand in hand with the shooting that you guys have. I mean, in transition and kickouts and everything. I mean, man, that's tough.
And we spend a lot of time on shooting.
We do.
A lot of time on shooting. You don't just become good shooters.
Sure.
You have to, again, be really intentional about that. But yeah, I mean, we averaged what, 73 or 74 points a game last year. And we want, mm-hmm. we want to see, can we push the 80 mark? Can we really get to the point where we're, and that's fun basketball to coach.
Oh, for sure.
And you have to have the personnel to do it. And this group, mm-hmm. they want to go. We joked last night, we were watching, and even our younger kids, it's like, you know, I think we could get by with like a 20-second shot clock or a 15-second shot clock. But because you watch other teams play, and all of a sudden they're like, gosh, they're 25 and 30 seconds in. Right. And it makes us uncomfortable now.
Right.
We weren't there before, but sure. now it's like, gosh, shoot the ball.
Right.
And that is fun. I mean, it's a fun way to play. It's a fun way to coach. But again, you still have to have the kids that are willing to do it.
And then you yeah. have to put the practice plan in together with that. You have to be very intentional because obviously it takes time to work on defenses. It takes time right. to learn your sets. But if you're going to put that much time into shooting,
mm-hmm.
you have to be very disciplined in the other sections of your practices, mm-hmm. not to waste time and to accomplish, you know, 2, 3, 4 things every day.
Right.
Because, you know, we're donating a huge bulk of practice to shoot.
Hmm. What percentage would you say that you spend? I know it varies depending.
Practice plan guy.
You know, we're gonna run 35 to sometimes 50 minutes a day on just shooting drills. Mm. And now we're gonna have other drills where we're gonna have a lot of shooting in that are combo drills. Mm. But if you're just talking just plain shooting drills,
yeah.
we're gonna have up to 50 minutes of practice.
And that's especially the day before games.
Sure. Yeah, just get a lot of shots up, a lot of reps.
You have to back off a little bit on how intensely you're
sure, yeah.
you're driving the kids anyway. So then we'll look at each other and go, okay, great day for a lot of shooting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. we're going to run three drills probably a day, which are, and our post guys do this too, at the lower levels. We don't have a lot of just pure posts at our level, but at the lower levels, our post guys are doing that too, where three drills of 5 to 7 minutes where they're shooting all threes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're getting 15 to 20 minutes of shooting just 3-point shots.
Mm-hmm. That's great, man. Well, it makes sense as to why you were shooting so good all season and why it's such a threat. You know, how many times do we watch?
And there you go.
I'm just saying, how many times we watch Valley? I forget who we were watching you guys play against, but someone would come down and make a good play.
Oh, and then you guys would just come down.
You guys come down, just drain a three. You know, run a great, fast possession. Boom, kick out three. They come down, and they, you know, you guys would get a stop. Come down, boom, three. Boom, three. And then before you know it, it's like, oh, this is like a lot of separation now. You know, I mean, so the shooting, it definitely pays off, you know.
Well, that second half of the UMA Catholic game, we hit some big threes in
mm-hmm.
that game.
I think that's the game I was thinking about. That's the game we're watching.
Hey, how fun was coaching against that group? Because that was like, I mean, obviously, you know, news is out, right? You know,
yeah. It's a different group now.
Hey, I tell you what, that point guard's the real deal.
Oh, I know. He can play. Tough.
We have tons of faith in Jake Harrison. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, we're throwing him up against anybody. And in that game, Jake got on me a little bit because I was all over him. It's like, come on, come on. And Jake says, dude, he's good.
he is, you know. That's crazy.
He was a savvy guard, man.
He was.
Loved his attitude.
And you know, I probably, you know, underestimated their role players a little bit more, too.
Sure.
I mean, they stepped up and they were – I mean, that was a tough game. That mm-hmm. was – they're out, you know, after the season, I started saying, and yeah, they're a different group now, but I just said, man, that group's going to be a handful.
Mm-hmm.
That group next year is going to be a handful.
Gosh, I had them number two, and now
yeah,
they're way far down for me.
That was another group that did not shy away from the moment.
Mm-hmm. No, not yeah. at all.
The kids, and they were really young like we are, and you know, the bigger and brighter the lights, the better they played. I mean, mm-hmm. we were very fortunate to get through that game. I mean, they made a lot of big, big plays.
Right.
He was on them from the last summer, and he tried putting me
I
on.
Saw them play. I told you they could
He's
hoop.
Like, man, they're gonna hoop. They're good. Trust me, this and that. And I was just like.
He wasn't with it because they're region, you know.
Well, you said schedule. It many, many times over the course of the year. It was too hard to read because mm-hmm. they just hadn't played sure. enough quality opponents. Mm-hmm. Not to their fault. It's Absolutely. Where they're located and their region.
So let's talk about this for a second, okay? Because we're talking about teams. I know UMA Catholic's not in your region. Let's talk about the South Central moving into next season.
Woo!
It's a little bit different now, if we're being completely honest, you know? And this is no knock on anybody because it's still the best region in the small ball, I would say. But what are your kind of expectations for some of your competitors, like a Coolidge, you know, like a Gilbert Christian, you know what I'm saying?
Ironwood.
Like Ironwood, you know, like, so let's just talk about that for a second because it's a great region.
Well, I think one of the first things is if you look at our region last year and what made it so good is there was so much experience in that region.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the advantages of a lot of experience when you're scouting somebody is you know that team.
All right, absolutely.
So we were able to plan ahead and plan for teams knowing their personnel.
Sure.
I mean, we knew Braden Moore, you know, or I mean, Braden Gant and Drew Madrid and Carlos. We knew those guys. We knew Corey Wood, right. You know, we knew Lightfoot, you know, we knew the guys that these teams had.
Sure.
Outside of Gilbert Christian, all of these teams are going to come different. So scouting is going to be a big part of us in the early season. Cause we're going to have to see, are they running the same things? Right. What does their personnel look like? I mean, it's going to be a big change.
Right.
I think that's probably the number one thing from the South Central is we have great coaches in the South Central.
Oh,
I
for
mean,
sure.
It's a really, really deep conference as far as coaches go. So we know these teams are going to be prepared well. It's a matter of you know, what's their personnel going to lend to them now? What styles are they going to play? You know, Ironwood has really good guards back.
Yeah.
You know, now obviously Willis was a great guard. Wood was a shooter, but I think their style is probably going to change a little bit.
Oh, it's got to a little
looking
bit.
Looking at their JV from last year, their JV loved to go up and down the floor.
Mm-hmm. And the head coaching change.
Right.
You know, so I think there's some really good players there that we have to figure out how we're going to defend them. You know, Gilbert Christian's loaded. You know, Lightfoot graduated. I think, you know, just like every team has that guy that, or most teams have that guy that they lose. We don't. But
did you see the subtle grin on his face when he said that?
It's got to be a great place to be, though.
It is a really nice place to be. But you know, when you lose that guy, you wonder as a coach, did we lose the heartbeat or not?
Sure.
And that's going to be interesting. I mean, I think Gilbert Christian's loaded. Mm-hmm. Lightfoot, he was a big part
mm-hmm.
of that. And it's going to be interesting to see how that team changes as well. And so there's a lot of scouting that goes into that. But
Talgo, baby.
Mm-hmm. Talgo, that's your boy right there.
My boy, dude. Go Keon.
So, yeah, and I think, and this is just my way too early prediction, I can see the first time, and I know you guys would disagree with this because you're, you know, being humble and stuff like that, which is what you're supposed to do as coaches, whatever.
Let us be the dirtbags.
Not a dirtbag. It's just a prediction. I could be wrong.
Just say what you're going to say.
I think that first time around when you guys play those teams, with the exception of Gilbert Christian, because I think they're legit, like what you're saying, I'm with you on that. But I think the first time you play a Coolidge, the first time you play an Ironwood and those teams that were really tough, I think you guys run away with those. But I think the second time you guys play them, they're way better. You know what I'm saying? Now, you guys will be better too, but I just think it's going to be interesting to watch that, you know, and that competitiveness in your region is still going to be there.
Well, I mean, the dynamics of a very deep region from a coaching perspective makes playing everybody two times fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Coach McCurdy, you know, honestly, I did breathe a huge sigh of relief when he decided to retire.
Hey, that game.
I mean, nothing against Coach Hamburg because I know that the system's not going to change. Sure. He's a big part of what they do. But McCurdy and I have been battling for years, and that dude can grind.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, we play him the first time, we come back the second time, and they're taking things away, and mm-hmm. I mean, they're just so well prepared, and that's the fun when you've got good coaches is learning how to make adjustments off the adjustments they made.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, it's so fun, dude. Yeah. Kind of love it. It's great. So let's talk about this too, because I just have so many things that I've wanted to throw your guys' way. So I think this is our time to do it. Gilbert Christian, give me your way too early preseason ranking for them, because that's a huge rivalry for you guys, you know. And, you know, Reyes pointed this out on the drive over here. You talked about this before we hopped on the podcast about PTSD. You know, there's certain teams where it's like, oh my gosh, you know. So what's your preseason ranking for them?
I'll let you go first.
I think they're top three.
Top three.
You
want to hit scary hours for that? No, I did it for Reyes. There you go. Yeah, I don't think it is, though. I'm with you on that.
They're very athletic. Their point guard, you're going to see a huge jump in him.
Stanbury.
Oh, he was so fun to watch.
Tough. Yep, he can go.
You know, there you often see that from that freshman to sophomore year, mm-hmm. that change in confidence. I mean, he was a confident player. He had to be as a freshman, but I think you're going to see a change there. I mean, obviously they have scores and Telgo and – And I think number five, I can't think of his name.
Olson. I think it's Olson.
No, Olson's
it's not.
Ten.
It's not Olson. Ten. It's like a weird name. It's a weird last name.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Number five, though. But I think really he's another one.
Yeah.
Yep. He's a really good defender. But if you watched him as a JV player prior to that, he shot the ball really well.
Mm.
So I think the transition into varsity, he didn't shoot it quite as well as I think they probably expected him to.
Sure.
I think he will this year. Mm-hmm. I just think that they're a more complete team because they're a year older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a 6'10 kid from last year who didn't play,
mm-hmm.
or 6'9, whatever he is. I mean, what is he going to add to the team?
Right.
There are some things you just don't know, but I think they're going to be really, really good.
Mm. Are you right there with him, top three?
Yeah, I was going to say top five with potential to even be higher than that.
Yeah.
Top
two. I'm in the top five. I am top five.
Yeah, they have... they've got loads of talent, and I agree with him. I just think, you know, even the progress that Stanbury made from beginning of the year and now to have an entire summer of playing AAU basketball, and he's playing on a really good team and all that, and all he can go and mm-hmm. he's going to be even that much better. And I think the other thing, I think Jace Olson is you know, Talgo gets a lot of attention as far as, you know, your best defender and things like that. But Olson gave us problems last year. Mm. He's a very good player. And
he's probably 2 inches taller.
I was just going to say, that's the thing with him is that, you know, if you look at his feet and his hands, I mean, the kid's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to be a handful as well. So I think they've got a potential to be really, really good.
Gosh,
man.
Before you get, I'm curious what you guys' thoughts on this too. So obviously we all know, right? Monty Williams took the coaching job in Detroit. I'm assuming Elijah follows, right? You would assume, right?
We don't know. We're just
they're playing today. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's so much stuff whirling around about that. Where
it's crazy, right?
He's going to stay another year. The hypothetical.
Let's just play the hypothetical game. He leaves. What does that mean for Scottsdale? I think at that point they're kind of just.
Well, no. Let's take this angle to it. Okay, I'm gonna flip it up on you. Okay, let's just say he stays. Right. How dangerous is he in the 3A? I mean, he's ridiculous. I mean, you guys played against him at the Christian Challenge when he was like, for a long time.
I forgot we called it that.
We didn't call it that. It's the name of the challenge. Did you not know that?
Bro, I'm not playing with you right now, dude.
I didn't call it that.
I swear to God that you called it that.
No, it was actually the name of it.
I thought it was the title.
You're giving him that much credit to make that up?
I called him a genius. I was like, that is so funny. I was like, that's hilarious. Maybe we'll just put the Christian Challenge on a graphic.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
Our social media guy thought it was hilarious.
There's Reyes, right, in a nutshell. But, I mean, you guys got to see him when he came back from being injured or whatever. And, I mean, he's tough. So, like, talk about what that would mean for him, for Scottsdale, if he did come back.
Well, I think first and foremost, because he's big, you know, their size is going to be difficult for any team that plays.
Oh, yeah.
They have the ability to pack the middle and just make it very, very difficult to get inside the lane and get shots.
Mm-hmm.
They did that against us last year.
Yeah.
Rebounding was an issue for us last year. So when, you know, with him coming back, his ceiling is ridiculously high.
It's wild, yeah.
And you know, I'm assuming we're going to see a different Elijah than we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's very scary, to be honest with you, and it should scare all the 3A coaches, to be honest.
You can hit scare arrows if you want.
Well, for us in the North Central, I think we're pretty scared.
I'm not scared. You're not even in the North Central anymore. You're going to the 1A, dude.
Matador, baby. Let's go.
But, yeah, I agree. His ceiling is crazy.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think Weber's a great player on his own.
Mm-hmm.
But having Elijah beside him really, really helps.
Yeah, sure.
And that only makes every other kid around them better. I mean, isn't that the true definition of a great player when every other kid around him is better?
Because of
him. And I think that happens with that team. I really do.
Yeah.
Man.
You right there with that?
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, right. I mean, I'm assuming he's staying, there's sure. many sleepless nights ahead, right? For a lot of coaches who are going to go up against them, because they do have, again, more than just him.
Yeah, they do.
And I think it does make Wales better, and it does make Weber better to have him. And he on his own is going to be hard to stop. But now they've got a lot of kids, and they've got some freshmen coming in that are going to contribute. And they're going to be a problem. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hey, listen, it is 10:15 right now, and you got, I know, Reyes, I don't think we got time for it. They want to give you guys enough time to be able to get ready for your game because, you know, you guys got your run.
11, huh?
Yeah, they're playing like a little bit. So. Hey, thank you guys so much for letting us come hang out in your office and talk about Valley Christian. Is there anything else you want to say, Reyes? I mean, I know there's a lot you want to say.
The Trojan horse was cool.
You're so dumb, dude. Hey, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. It was super fun hanging out here at Valley. If you haven't already, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Write us a review. Give us a rating. That helps our show so much. And we'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for hanging out here with the Valley with us, man. It's been sweet.
Don't forget to enlist in the Army.